attention, please? Can I have your attention, please? Sabbat shalom, everyone. My name's Sunny Yishalabel Mashoni Hawkins, and I'd like to serve forever as a priest started very soon. It's now time to start finding new seats for Sabbath services.
Nice
color. Can I have your attention, please? Can I have your attention, please? Shabbat shalom, everyone. My name is Sunny Yishalabel Pilot Hawkins, and I'd like to serve forever as a priest starting very soon. It's a privilege and an honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Yishalabel now entering the sanctuary. I'd like to turn up to Sunny Yishalabel and Nathaniel Hawkins. Hello, everyone. You can be seated. The title of my speech is "The House of Yahweh Was Prophesied in the Last Days." The two witnesses are shown in prophecy to be used in these last days by Yahweh and Yahshua Messiah to establish the House of Yahweh. They were prophesied to do it in this generation of the nuclear bombs that will darken the sun. For my first scripture, please turn to Micah 4:1 on page 705. But in the last days, it will come to pass that the mountain's promotion of the house of Yahweh will be established in the chief of the nations. It will be rise above all congregations. In the Mark of the Beast, volume 2, chapter 18, verse 2:12 and 2:14. Pastor tells us more about this. We are also living in the last days when Yahweh said he would establish his house just as the prophet until Yochanan proclaimed. Yahweh has established his house to once again bring his truth and his last day's warning to this word. Before Yahweh established his house in the last days, there were no prophecy work of Yahweh on the face of the planet since the house of Yahweh established in the formed days died out. So we can see that the house of Yahweh was prophesied and it has been established in these last days. We have the opportunity every week to sit at the feet of the last witness, Yishua Hawkins, and learn from him. Many of those who lived before us were not able to do this. Do not take this for generation, brethren. I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker.
And now it's a privilege and honor to turn it over to Deacon Yacob.
Shabbat shalom, saints of Yahweh. You can be seated. Today, I'd like to first, before I give you the title of my sermon, I'd like to do a mental exercise with each and every one of you. Now, don't worry, this exercise won't hurt you a bit. I'd like to see everyone in the sound of my voice, I'd like to see you breathe without Yahweh. I don't see anyone that can do it. Let's find out why that we cannot breathe without Yahweh. If you'll turn to, in the book of Yahweh, if you'll turn to Genesis 1 and verse 1. It says, in the beginning, Yahweh created the heavens and the earth. You'll turn to page 61 in the book of Yahweh, Exodus 20, 1 through 3. And Yahweh spoke all these words, saying, I am Yahweh, your heavenly Father, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no hinder gods, Elohim, at all. They are in opposition against me. If you will turn over in the book of Acts here, if you turn over in the chapter 17, page 859 in the book of Yahweh, Acts 17, starting with verse 22, the Apostle Shaul speaks to us here, and he says, then Shaul said, stood in the midst of Marzil and said, men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are given to religious observances in the worship of your gods, Elohim. For as I passed by, carefully observing your objects of worship, I also came upon the altar with the inscription to the unknown God, El. That then is what you ignorantly worship, having no understanding. Listen very carefully now. He says, this I announce to you, Yahweh who made the world and all things in it, being creator of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he lacked anything, since it is he himself who gives to everyone life and breath and all things. And he has made from one blood all nations of men to dwell on the face of the earth. And he has determined the times before appointed for them and the boundaries of their habitation, that they might seek Yahweh in the hope that they might feel their way toward him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of Yahweh, we must not think that the holiness of Yahweh is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill. In the past, Yahweh winked at such ignorance, but he now commands all men everywhere to repent, for he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has ordained, and he has given evidence to everyone by raising him from the dead. Okay, if you'll turn in your scriptures to page 845, Acts chapter 5, starting with verse 29. Then Kepha and the other apostles answered and said, we must obey Yahweh rather than men. The father of our fathers raised up Yeshua, whom you sacrificed by hanging him on a tree. Him has Yahweh exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, to give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. In G3 on the side, it says, meaning that he is the only mediator between Yahweh and mankind. Okay, if you'll turn over in your scriptures to Isaiah chapter 9, page found on page 535, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called the Wonder of the Counselor, the Judge established by the Mighty Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from that time and forever after. The zeal of Yahweh of hosts will perform this. Okay, so if we're reading this and we're wondering, okay, well, how are we going to understand exactly what he's talking about? And we have to have a teacher. We have to have a teacher to teach us. If you'll turn in your books of Yahweh to Isaiah 44, page 558. Isaiah 44, 1 and 2. It says, yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel whom I have chosen. This is what Yahweh says, who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you. Do not be afraid, Jacob, my servant, and Yeshurun, beloved Israel, whom I have appointed. Verse 5. One will say, I belong to Yahweh, and the same will call himself with the name of Jacob. The other will subscribe with his hand and write, I belong to Yahweh, and surname himself with the name of Israel. This is why Yahweh, the King of Israel and Redeemer Yahweh of hosts says, I am the first, I am the last, and except for me, there is no source of power. And who, as I will foretell and set it in order to me, since I appointed the ancient people and the things which are coming and will come, let them foretell them. If you look across the page there on page 559, 45, starting with verse 11, let's listen to what Yahweh says about this teacher. This is what Yahweh, the Holy One of Israel, and Israel's maker. Now notice, he says he's Israel's maker, okay? The greatest teacher in the world. He says that he's Israel maker, says, ask me about the things that are coming. Ask me about my sons or the work of my hands, which I have given command. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens and all their host I have commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness. Listen to what Yahweh is saying here about Israel. And I will direct all his ways. He will rebuild my city and let my captives go free. Not for price nor reward, says Yahweh of hosts. So we see that the creator of the universe, the supreme head, the only source of power, is giving witness to us of who our teacher is in these last days. In the book of Israel, I'd like to show you here, in the book of Israel, the first book of Israel, he who rules as Yahweh, making the connection with Yahweh. On page number 4, it was given 41503. Pastor writes, I read you Isaiah 9:6. Let's listen to what Pastor says. This is why we need Israel Hawkins, our teacher. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government of Yahweh, all this power, the princes who we just read about, all this authority will be upon his shoulders. That is, he is going to be heard. He's going to be head under Yahweh. Yahweh will rule as he is doing today. And he has shown them And he has shown that he is going to do that. Yahweh will sit back and rest. And we're going to do a great work of cleansing, of cleaning up the world and the universe. Yeshua is who I want you to concentrate on. Being the firstborn, a child is born of mankind, and he has bred him for that purpose, trained for that purpose, and now holds that position. He has made it. His eyes and his heart are here with us today, which is written tonight here, along with Yahweh too. And his name will be called the Wonder of the Counselor, the Judge established by the Almighty Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of his increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. No end to the increase. No end to the government. No end to peace. Upon the throne of David, over his kingdom. Pastor writes here, he says, if you're thinking of this as the seat that David held in a little bitty house, you're thinking too small. You've got to think Texan in order to understand what he's talking about. This represents a throne in heaven. Listen to what Pastor's saying, our teacher. He said, when David sat on that throne that Yahweh established, chosen by Samuel to take that seat, it was the power, not a stool that he sat on. We wouldn't have known that unless our teacher, Israel Hawkins, told us. Listen, he says, okay, he says, it's not hidden in print somewhere. That is a position that David held for a certain time when the kingdom of Yahweh was established here on earth. Okay, on page 6, Pastor writes in the same book, he says, he will see his seed, Yahweh says, he will prolong days and the pleasure. That is the plan of Yahweh will succeed in his hands. He will see the labor of his soul. He's speaking of every one of you. Listen to what Pastor's saying to us, our teacher. He says, he is speaking of every one of you here when he is speaking of Yeshua. Yeshua was the firstborn of many brothers. We are the remnant of this. We're the remnant of this prophecy here. Okay? By his knowledge, Yahweh's knowledge, righteous servants will justify many, for he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, which he never had on earth, and he will divide the plunder with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death. And he was numbered with the transgressors. He bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Listen to what Pastor continues to say here. He said he was born for that purpose, to be bred, live, and die for that purpose. Yahshua did all of this for one reason. Listen very carefully. He believed the prophecies of Yahweh, inspired to be written about him. He also died a king. He died a king, and he will be given that in front of all of those who have rejected him. I've read to you why we need Yahweh, why we need Yeshua, and why we need Israel Hawkins. I know that a lot of people have thought, I wonder what Yahweh looks like. But I want to show you a picture of Yahweh. Now, the scripture backs this up And we're going to read it real quick because I ain't got much time. Yochanan 14, 832, page 832. Philip said to him, "Teacher, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Yeshua said to him, "Have I been so long with you, yet you do not know me, Philip?" Yeshua was telling him, "I've been right here with you. Israel Hawkins is our teacher. He's been with us. This is Yahweh to me and you. Because Pastor said, I am Yahweh." And with that, I'll turn it over to the great Khan Malachadok Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. You can have your seats, please. Do you know what it is to rejoice? Do you know what it is to be joyful? I want to read a scripture really quick because I have about 35 pages of notes to go through. It's Psalms 119. And I'm going to start off on verse 4. It says, "You have commanded us to diligently keep your precepts. Oh, may our behavior be constant in keeping your statutes. For if we concentrate on your every law, we can never be put to shame." Concentrate. What does it mean to concentrate? The title of my sermon is Programmed to the Frequency of Life. What is a frequency? What is a program? And what is life? I want to make a statement. And this statement is basically a mind, a matter over your mind, a matter over your mind. But what is the matter over your mind? What I mean when I say matter over your mind is simply not up to allow anything to get in front of Yahweh and his laws, his statutes, his judgments, his teachings, his love, his mercy. Nothing to cloud your judgment, nothing to cloud your focus or your concentration on where you want to go, where you want to be, what you want to become. Do you know who you are? Do you know who you are? Who are you? You're the seed of Israel. You're the sons of Yahweh and the daughters of Yahweh. In this sermon, I need to break the ice. So I'll make you a wager. If I could get you, if Yahweh would allow me to get you to rejoice, then you have to put $1 million in a coffer. Now, if I can't get you to rejoice, if Yahweh won't allow me to get you to rejoice, then you know what? Then you can put $1 million in a coffer. Did that ring a bell? Anybody remember that? So my question to you is, are you smiling? You are? You ever thought about what it means to smile? Have you ever actually felt and paid attention to what it is when you smile? Because, I mean, you know, we sure know what it is to suffer and to be upset and to be annoyed. And, you know, we know what those things are. But have you actually paid attention to yourself when you smile? When you rejoice, do you know what it feels like? Do you remember what it feels like? Let me get into this sermon. All right. It says in Hebrews 6, I'm going to quote some scriptures, but I'm not going to go to it because I have a lot to cover. In Hebrews 10:6, it talks about a renewed covenant in our inward parts, written in our hearts and our minds. Okay. Well, I looked up the words heart and mind, right? And one of the things that it basically states is the thoughts or feelings. Your thoughts or feelings, your mind. It means deep thought, properly, the faculty, the mind, or its disposition. It's exercise. Exercise. Imagination. Understanding. And it comes from 1, 2, 2, 3. And it's denoting the channel of an act. The intellect in thought or feeling, will, and understanding. So our thoughts and feelings equal the channel of mental intellect or mental awareness. So the purpose of my sermon today is I just want you to rejoice. I just want to give you information that you can hold on to. That you can hold on to and that you can take with you when you leave services, when Sabbath is over, when you're going through the week, when you're going through tests and trials, when you're bumping into certain situations, you're dealing with circumstances that you don't have any control over. I want you to remember some of these things. And I want you to remember that Pastor has basically given us the keys that we need to succeed. He's already given it to us. And how do I know that? Because while I was putting this sermon together, I was praying and asking Yahweh to give me guidance. And it was crazy because everything that I thought about or that he gave me, it actually resulted back to a pattern that Yahweh has actually established from the beginning. So I asked you, do you know who you are? Right? And I said, you are the seed of Israel. You're the children of Yahweh. Well, here's the first thing that I want to do to put a smile on your face. I looked up the word, the phrase, blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. And when I looked that up, blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. It was word 3080 from 3068. And this is in Gematria, by the way. And it also came in another word that actually, another number that populated was 7378. And what it was is Yahweh will contend. Yahweh will contend. Yahweh, right? The 3068 is Yahweh, Yahweh, self-existing, the eternal. So man, you know, blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. It actually has a foundation of Yahweh's name. But then 7378, it meant to defend. It meant to strive, to conduct a legal case, to plead. Is that not what our pastor is doing at this time? Is he not pleading with the world? Is he not pleading with us to hold fast, to submit, to humble ourselves, to not hold on to anything that would actually disrupt the message that Yahweh has given us through him, through his words? So this witness, Yisro, was sent to us by Yahweh to benefit us because Yahweh loves us. So I'm going to keep going, and I'm actually going to, let me move here a little. Like I said, I have tons of notes. So I looked up the word program. Let's see how this works. Yeah, it's not my printer, but. So program, it means to pass particle to provide a computer or machine with coded instruction for the automatic performance of a task. Automatic performance. To arrange according to a plan or schedule. And did you know that you can learn how to program your mind or program yourselves consciously? The word frequency is the number of waves or occurrences that pass a fixed place in a given amount of time, as in a wavelength and frequency. Light is measured by its wavelength in nanometers or frequency in hertz. So an example is there's 24 hours in a day, or you have the frequency of a heart rate. Or the frequency of your behavior. And then life. Life is from 1870, from 1869, and it is a road, a trodden, as trodden, figuratively, a course of life or mode of action. So one of the points that I want to make is we cannot allow our past emotions, our past feelings, our past circumstances to cause us to make the wrong choices now. During the new moon, there was a segment in the new moon film that actually explained about neurons in the brain and about receptors and connectors. And one of the things that I found out while searching for some of the information was that you have a thought, right? That thought has energy. That thought has frequency. That thought has vibration. Positive or negative, it has energy. When you have that thought produces a feeling. You pay attention to that thought, it produces an emotion. That emotion, in turn, is going to cause you to make a choice, an act. And that should sound familiar to all of us in the house of Yahweh, okay, because it actually is one of the things that the Peaceful Solution outlines. But one of the things I want you to think about is when you make it, after you get that thought, and then that feeling comes, and then you have that emotion, and then you make that decision, you know what occurs? You have another thought. And then you have another feeling. And you have another emotion. And then you have another choice. And then after that choice, it's a cycle. So if you continually make the wrong choices, you're going to continue to have the wrong outcome. And if you keep doing this, what occurs is that you create a pattern of behavior or a mode of behavior, a mode of action. And one of the things that you have to understand is that the laws, the statutes, and the judgments that Yahweh has given us at this time is a way of basically putting into perspective how our mode of behavior should be. It's actually giving us the programming that we need so that we can become like Yahweh. Because when you look at the world and you see the things that are taking place throughout the world, all we see is death, sickness, disease, trauma, stress, more stress, more harm, more hurt. All of these things are taking place. But yet and still, here we are in Yahweh's house. And what is Yahweh teaching us how to do? How to modify our behavior so that we can bring light to the world. Interesting? We clap? Think about it. Think about it. Don't think about, oh, I'm going to bring light to the world. No. I want you to think about, wow, I am going to bring light to the world. We are going to bring light to the world. We are a family. Not the family that we had when we were out there before we came to the house of Yahweh. But he's creating us in a way to really understand what love is, what mercy is, what kindness is. The world needs what we're learning in Yahweh's house. The world needs us. The world is waiting for us. Actually, the creation, the microorganisms, the micro kingdoms, they're waiting. Like, man, you know, Yahweh's plan is so awesome. The only people who don't believe Yahweh is man. We don't focus on them because we allow these matters over our mind to not allow us to focus on the great, awesome things that Yahweh has in store for us. If we remember that everything in our universe has frequency and vibration, and this frequency, it can be measured, and it's manifested through our thoughts, our words, and behavior. So he who practices righteousness is what? Righteous. For not the hearers of the law are justified, but the what? So I could quote to you all day long, we'll keep the peaceful solution. I could quote to you all day long, think law. But if you're not doing it, what are you? Okay, so the frequency or vibration of one's life, their mental thoughts or the words spoken, their attitude and behavior should resonate on a righteous scale. And when that occurs, what does it do? It produces light. You know, oftentimes we don't realize this, but we allow our past to block Spirit Holy. We allow our past and the things that we went through to identify who we are at this particular point in time. But you know what? Yahweh has already given us an identity when we came to his house. But we want to hold on to who we used to be. We're cutting ourselves off from Yahweh. The whole world, the whole creation is waiting for us to reach a level so that we can fix the things that have basically that mankind broke, that the gods broke. Man, I want to. I want to share something else with you. The frequency of life. I looked this up in Gematria. It's two numbers that came up. One was 905 and one was 167. So 905 from Strong's was Bod from 909, and it meant separation. A part of the body, branch of a tree. When I saw this, I started laughing because immediately made me start thinking about the house of Yahweh. A branch of a tree. Yisrael Hawkins. Wow. Man, that's interesting. But it also meant strength. So I said, strength? Man, you mean as an Iliah? The Law and the Prophets? And it meant, it also said, a part or portion of something. So this word is always used of a priestly garment, or at least a garment worn by one who appears before Yahweh or his altar. So I was like, whoa, wait a minute. I wonder what 167 means. So 167 was from 168. Guess what that meant? It meant to pitch a tent. It meant tabernacle. It meant dwelling. It meant covering. It meant home, house of Yahweh, right? This word appears 198 times in reference to tabernacle. So when I thought about that, I'm like, wait a minute, frequency of life? That's what this means? So this is to be separated? Okay? Called out? And then it meant as an article or a garment, something that's worn by the priest? It's like, do you understand that Yahweh, at every turn, he is proving himself to his house through the messages that come from pastor? Because the only reason that I even came up with this was because I'm listening and paying attention to the words that come from our overseer. So there's a guide that's there. The guide is there. You don't have to look and try to figure out things on your own. The guide is there, because if you did, then you'd be out of unity, right? So the funny thing about this is that when I was looking for this information, I was looking all over the place. I'm like, man, there's a book, Making a Connection. Where's that book at? So I'm tearing my house up looking for this book. I find all the other books of Israel, but I can't find them making a connection. I'm like, man, what is going on? So I make something to eat, and I sit down at the table. And I go and I pull the Strong's from off the table. And when I pull the Strong's from off the table, I see this little book over there. Like, man, I wonder what that book is. Guess what that book was? Was Making a Connection. I said, okay, Yahweh, you know what? I'm going to follow the pattern, and I'm going to look up what making a connection means in Gematria. So I'm jumping around. So making a connection came to number 550, and it meant faithful, from 539, which means aman, to foster, as a parent or a nurse, to be firm, endure, be faithful, stand fast, trust, and believe, also signifies the element of being firm or trustworthy, and can is also connote, it's not cannot, it means connote, I spelled it wrong, but it also means psychological or mental certainty. So how can you be certain that Yahweh is who he says he is? How can you be certain that you're living in these last days? What? Oh, yeah? Really? And how do you understand prophecy? From what? I'm sorry. From what? I mean, you need a teacher? Really? Okay. So we need a teacher. Well, I looked up the word. I said, okay, you know what? So we're dealing with these frequencies and this righteousness and Yahweh's law is his mind, is his character, and it is the frequency of Yahweh. It's this repetition, right? So I said, you know what? I'm just going to look up frequency of righteousness. I want to know what that's going to say. Frequency of righteousness in the Gematria was 1884. Now let me see if I can get this. Where is it at? I'm just going to read it to you because I have so much other stuff. Frequency of righteousness means one skilled in the law. Not finished. A judge. Counselor. There was this other number that came up in the Gematria. And it was 314. You want to know what 314 was? It meant ladder. Ladder. Not a ladder you climb, but a ladder. Ladder in time. To come. Last of time. But the thing that was so, man, it was just, I think I started crying. Maybe I started crying. I know I started laughing, you know. But it meant specifically of facing the east. Western. I'm like, whoa, hold on a second. So this frequency of righteousness actually is pointing back to our pastor. No way. No way. Okay, so that's not even it. Because when I looked up 314 in the Greek, it meant to know again, to distinguish between or to recognize, to know accurately or to acknowledge. How could you acknowledge or know accurately unless you gave yourself wholeheartedly to something? You would never really know it. You'd never really understand it. You'd never really believe it. And you'd never put it into practice. But if you were intimate with it and you understood how important it was to you, you'd give yourself to it completely. And this is the thing that we need to understand when it comes to the teachings from the house of Yahweh. This is what it means or what it is to understand where you are at the time that you are and what it is that we need to be doing. We need to be modifying our behavior. We need to be calibrating our frequencies. We need to be getting rid of the past. Well, this is who I used to be and I'm not going to change. You're proud and you cannot align with Yahweh if you are proud. If you're holding on to anything, if you're allowing anything to be over your mind. Other than the teachings, Yahweh's law, statutes, and judgments. Okay, so let's get into some really, really, you know, the main reason that I was asking Yahweh to give me a sermon or give me some information that really would inspire the people. And the funny thing about it is that I was looking for something else and I came across this. And it says, it seems that the human A is thoroughly, that the DNA is thoroughly initialed with Yahweh's name. Thoroughly initialed, what did that mean? Well, it seems someone found Yahweh's name in ourselves. And we kind of heard some of this prior, but this specifically states that apparently Yahweh's name appears about 500,000 times in each human cell. So my thing is like, when I thought about that, I was like, who do I think I am? I don't even belong to myself. My creator initialed himself and said, hey, you belong to me. In fact, he initialed every human being in their cell and said, you are mine. Now, you can choose to follow Yahweh's way and you'll have life more abundantly. or you can choose not to follow Yahweh's way, and you won't exist. The very memory of you will be gone. That vibration that you have, it's going to go out. That frequency, we won't remember it. So, 500,000 times. So here's another thing that I thought was interesting. When another scientist decided that he wanted to apply the Hebrew alphabet to the periodic table of elements, he made a discovery. And his discovery was that the DNA is composed of four elements: hydrogen, nitrogen, oxygen, and carbon. And when he overlaid the Hebrew letters, he actually came up with Yod, He, Wah, G. Well, G is because all life is what? Carbon-based. So there's the carbon that actually allows us to be physical matter. But he said, this is what makes us earthly. He said, when carbon is replaced with nitrogen, we have a colorless, odorless, invisible, something they call gas, which forms Yod, He, Wah, He. Wow. So, you know, 1 Thessalonians 3:13, it says that your heart might be established, right? Yahweh is continuously doing things to give us joy. If we're paying attention, if we're focused, if we're giving ourselves to it completely, because if we're not, the only person who's not going to benefit is me. And if I care about Yahweh, and if I care about being what Yahweh wants me to be, you know, at the end of the day, you can't reverence Yahweh unless you do something. You know what that is? What is that? How do you reverence Yahweh? Keeping his laws? Is that what you said? Reverence Yahweh by keeping his laws? But how do you say you reverence Yahweh by keeping his laws, but you don't treat your brother the way you want to be treated? I don't think that's possible. You know, so these laws, Yahweh said, you know, like out there in the world, you know, want to think, oh, well, you know, this, you know, who wants to serve a creator who wants us to worship him in this way? They don't even understand that Yahweh takes pleasure out of you serving one another. Us serving one another. If I can't serve you, I'm useless. You have to think about that. Put that into a perspective. If I cannot serve you, or if you can look at the person next to you and say, I can't serve this person, you're fooling yourself. Because that is Yahweh's character. And that that vibration is resonating. And I thought, man, you got these vibrations and these frequencies and this energy, all these things are producing light. They're producing energy. Electrons and things are firing. We can't see it, but the courts of heaven can see it. Sea of glass can see it. All right. So, okay. What I want to do is, I'm kind of running out of time. So when I saw this, it says, okay, so we have these cells, 500,000 times Yahweh's name is in us, right, in our cells. So I thought, man, that kind of reminds me of the scripture when Yahshua said, you know, he's in the Father, the Father's in me, right? So I thought about that, man, the Father is in me. What would that mean? So I'm not going to put it up there, I'm just going to read it. But the Father in me from the Gematria was 496 from 410 and 5749. And it was a shortened form of 352, which meant strength, mighty, powerful. But 5749 meant to repeat, to duplicate, to protest, testify, witness, admonish, lift up, give warning, take as witness, to bear witness, or to assure protection. So it's like, man, you think about these things. So when I put all this together, it was like, well, you know, to bear witness of the power and might of Yahweh, That is what it is to have Yahweh within us. We declare Yahweh through our behavior. So if we're not behaving like Yahweh, then we can't truly say we're Caesar the witness, right? Because Yisrael means he who rules is Yahweh, right? The priest, right? Here's another thing. I'm going to show this one to you. Can you see that? It's kind of tiny. I don't know how to work this. Okay, I'm just going to go in and read it. It's written in ourselves. So I looked up the word written in ourselves, the phrase written in ourselves. And what written in ourselves was, it came, once again, it was 3079, Yahweh Shalom, from 7965 and from 7999, which meant safe or well. But 1842 was a root in the etymology from 1835, and 3282 meant basically to pay attention properly. By heed by implication, purpose for the sake of or on the account of, the intent. So written in ourselves, it meant the intent, okay? But Jesenius says to propose anything by words, to signify as a preposition on account of. And then 7999 meant to be safe, in mind, body, or estate, make amends, make an end or finish, but also meant to be at peace, be peaceable, that is perfect, restore or reward. Now, this is the thing that was so interesting, because when I looked up in Jesenius that word, it meant completed, finish, or of a building. Completion of a building. Let that sink in. Completion of a building. Let me say that again. Completion of a building. Not a building, but of a building of a people. So Yahweh put in your genes, in our genes, in our DNA, he stamped his sign and said, you're mine, and I'm going to wait. I'm going to let the gods and Satan do everything that they think that they're going to do. They think they're going to be successful. But you know what? My plan won't fail. So I need you to understand one thing. And I only got through like 3 pages, but I got 35 more. Understand one thing. Okay? Yahweh loves you. And he loves you so much that before the foundations of the world, again, I will say, he imprinted who he was in you because he knew what your possibilities were. Now you have to believe in yourself and what Yahweh says through the witness that you will become perfect and that you will heal this world. You will heal this nation. Yahweh is waiting for you to grow up. So with that, if you could all please stand. Yahweh bless your understanding. I'm going to turn it over to the great Kahan Matithia Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom. Please be seated. Start off, I titled this sermon, Don't Get Stuck in the Rut. This last atonement, I got to thinking, I thought, this is my 31st atonement. 31st. Now you thought after 31 years, you'd be perfect, right? I started asking myself, why am I not there? Why have I not reached that perfection? If you would have asked me 30 years ago if I would overcome in 30 years, I said, sure. Anybody can overcome in that time period. But the reality of it is, it's a whole lot harder than it seemed like in the beginning. After all, when I first came, I already thought I was perfect. But then, after I was trained a little bit in the ways of the laws of Yahweh, I realized that I was further and further away from my goal, because the more I learned, the further the goal got away from me, because I realized I had further to go to overcome. I judged myself on my concept of what righteousness was. My concept, and I was competing against all of you guys, so I already got you beat. You see, this is the mindset that I had to overcome, because I thought that I already had reached a certain level of righteousness before I was ever taught the way of righteousness. Of course, you know, when I was ignorant, it seemed like it was just a hop, skip, and a jump away. But the reality of it is, it was way off, because I had no idea how much I had still to overcome. Now, the easy things I overcame them quickly. But it was the burdensome ones, those things I just didn't want to change about myself, those subjects I didn't want to face, my comfort zones. And when I was faced with those questions, with those laws being brought forth, I had to be honest with myself. I had to face certain questions saying, do I really want this that much? I remember sitting in class, and one of the priests was teaching. And I had a lot of preconceived ideas that were put into my mind. And I began thinking, wow, this is for real. I really have to either go for this. I have to make a determination to go for this. Because if I don't really seriously make the determination to go for this, I'm going to fail. We're not here just to stay in the house of Yahweh, but we have to put everything into overcoming. The difficulty is I didn't think I was that bad of a guy already. I mean, I didn't do it like everybody else. You know, I was brought up with a certain clean standard of what I thought was clean. And when I compared myself to those around me, I thought I wasn't too bad off. I didn't realize how full of hypocrisy I was. Please be turning over to Luke 18. Now, I think this is important because I could say I grew up in the house of Yahweh. I was pretty young when I came here. Pastor would say I grew up in the house of Yahweh. But I know that many of us did grow up in the house of Yahweh. And sometimes because we never experienced the ways of the world, we never, you know, became a child molester, which is one of the most hated sins that is done in the world. But it's no different than someone who doesn't obey a priest or a kohana. It's no different than someone who doesn't keep all of the laws of Yahweh. But I classified myself, well, I'm not as bad as that murderer or that adulterer or that guy who went to prison. Like he was somehow worse than me. Luke 18, 9 through 14, excuse me. The Pharisee and the tax collector, the self-righteous who despised others, it says here. Then he spoke this parable to those who trusted confidently in themselves, that they were righteous while despising others. Two men went up into the sacred precinct to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a publican. Now, if you've ever read any history on a publican were the most hated that there were because they were the tax collectors. They were the guys that you had to always come to pay your taxes, and they'd be the ones that would always check how much your land was, and they'd raise your taxes. And so they were always the bad guy and very much hated so in this time period from the history that I've read. The Pharisee stood and prayed in this way to himself. Yahweh, I thank you that I am not like other men. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this publican right here. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of everything I possess. But the publican, standing at a distance, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven. But beat his breast, saying, Yahweh, be merciful to me, a sinner. I always do this. I tell you, this man went down to his house perfect, or justified, excuse me, rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be abased, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. Now, this is important for us to understand, because if we judge ourselves by the worldly standard, we're going to have a hard time overcoming all these things, these big things that are weighing us down. The problem that I found within myself is I reserved back the certain sins that I enjoyed. And when those things came up, I found myself not wanting to let go of them. I remember a pastor coming out and saying, you have to overcome every sin. Any sin will disqualify you. The sin, it has a snowball effect. I like to think of sin in the way of a virus. You know, a virus gets in and it breaks down the immune system. And it starts subtly, little by little, breaking down the immune system. And sometimes you can push it back behind you and you could get that so you don't see it right away. You don't see the effects of it. And it comes back, and when it comes back, it's stronger. If that virus does not get beaten or broken by your immune system, it will eventually take over the immune system, and that invading army will take over everything within your body. And it's the same thing with when you allow any sin in your life, any sin. And this is where we have to be honest with ourselves. We have to be honest, like is shown on the Day of Atonement. This is the time to really open up and be honest with yourself, because you can hide it from people around you, but you can't hide what's in yourself. But if you don't set your mind to overcome that and diligently go for it, it will eat up the righteousness within your heart and your mind to the point that you do become evil. When we find ourselves sometimes in these situations, we like to, instead of overcoming, we like to have justification for our actions. We justify it by saying, we justify it by putting up a defensive posture against any kind of authority that comes. If the authority comes and says, you shouldn't be doing this, or they point something out to you, we like to defend ourselves. Defend ourselves. You know, the scripture says a righteous man makes himself a prey. He opens himself up to the humiliation that it takes to overcome. It shows here that we use excuses sometimes. Be turned over to Isaiah 58, 5 through 7. Sometimes we use the justification in our mind. He's always on my case. Every time they get up there, he's on my case. I remember a couple of the men were sitting in services one day, and pastor was up here, and he was slamming home a point of things that were being done. And one of the men looked to the other man. He said, "Who's he talking about?" And the man said, "Everybody, all of us." And that's true. We are always talking to everybody, because we always have something we need to overcome. But if we sit back there and we listen to it and we say, here he is on my case again. You know what we tend to do? How'd he know that? How'd he know that? Well, that's because we all have the same problems. We all have sins. Everybody has a different form maybe, but we all have things that we have to face within ourselves. The elephant on our back, as they call it. The posture against the righteous rebuke, that's what you have to put out of you. When you hear the word of Yahweh being spoken, even if it hurts, even if it exposes you, you have to face it for what is righteousness. Yes, what is righteousness? That's what you have to remind yourself. Don't allow your emotions to get in your way. Don't allow your anger to get in your way. Be willing to expose yourself to the rebuke, because it's being done for the sake of love. Isaiah 58, I better catch up with you here. Isaiah 58, I'm sure you're all very familiar with this scripture. We've heard it quite a lot. But there's some really great points that I wanted to show in this. And of course, this is talking about a fast. But as you see in verse 5, he says, is this the kind of fast that I have chosen, the day for a man to afflict his body? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying on sackcloth and ashes? Is that all that is to your fast? Will you call that an acceptable day to Yahweh? Is this not the kind of fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free? Oppressed, oppressed by sin. The oppression that comes from the enslavement of sin. And you break every yoke. Notice in verse 7, is it not to share your bread with the hungry? That's being done when this message goes out, free of charge. We are sharing the bread with the hungry. And you bring to your house the poor who are cast out. And when you see the naked, you cover him. And this is all through the teachings, not through going out and giving charity to the Salvation Army. But through the teachings, you are covering the naked and you are helping the poor. And notice right here it says, and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Hiding yourself from your own faults. I don't want to see it. I don't want to hear it. You know, one thing I find myself doing is when someone points out my faults, I start to say, well, what about this? And I start to tell them all the things I think great about myself. And, you know, it's, would you prefer I was like this? You see, that's all justification. The reality of it is, if it's wrong, it's wrong. The sooner we face that fact, the quicker we'll overcome. Loose the bands of wickedness and to undo the heavy burdens. First Yochanan 3, verse 7. Turn over, please, real quickly to First Yochanan 3, verse 7. Loose the bands of wickedness. Well, how do you do that? How do you loose those bands of wickedness? How do you let the oppressed go free? 3, verse 7. And I know these, you've read these 100 times, these scriptures, but they're so pertinent to our time period in overcoming. It says, little children, let no man deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. Sounds simple, right? He who practices righteousness is righteous. There's nothing complex about that. In verse 10, he says, in this, the children of Yahweh and the children of the devil are manifest. How are they manifest? They're manifest when this message goes out. And it's told to you the deception that comes when it goes against the laws of Yahweh. When you hear that and you are part, that deception is in your life, you're being manifest. That sin is being manifest. Don't take it as a personal attack against you. Take it as a personal attack against the virus inside of you. And be thankful that someone loved you enough to point it out to you so you can overcome it. Praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. In this, the children of Yahweh and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of Yahweh, and he does not love his neighbor. Now, this word practice, from Merriam-Webster's dictionary, it says to carry out or apply. You know, and they give the example as practice what you preach. You've heard that before, practice what you preach. To perform after or customarily or habitually. To train by repeated exercise. That's why we come up week after week, every Sabbath, every new moon, every feast day, every class. This is why we consistently do it over and over and over again. Then it becomes what they call muscle memory. Muscle memory is doing something every day till it becomes natural. I remember when I learned how to do the trade. I learned how to swing a hammer. And, you know, I had learned to swing a hammer like this. And they told me, no, you do this. You got to swing your hammer on. And it was so uncomfortable. What? Swing your hammer from the side? That, and it seemed impossible. And my instructors kept saying, no. I kept going back to doing it like this. And they'd say, no, do it like this. And it practiced and practiced and practiced. And pretty soon, it got where I could swing a hammer in any direction. But I had to trust my teachers. And I had to practice. I had to use that muscle memory until it became a habit. If I would have rebelled and said, no, I'm not going to swing the hammer that way. I am going to swing it the way I want to swing it. And I don't care what you say. I would have never gained that ability to have that muscle memory. But now I can pretty much close my eyes and swing my hammer. No, I can't. But just don't be around when I do it. Please be turning over to Hebrews 12, verse 1. This scripture is, I love this scripture. This scripture always makes me think of, and we've already gone through it, is kind of what I always think of this. We've already gone through it, and this was the encouragement. We're here. We're at the end. All you got to do is just walk through that door. Just stay the distance, and you got it made. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily entraps us, and let us run the race that is set before us with endurance. Now, the apostle was telling you, come on, you're almost there. You've almost made it. You just have to keep your mind focused on the goal, and don't get distracted by these weights, by these sins that hold you down. So I wanted to see what the word weight meant, and hopefully I do this correctly here. Where do I set this? Right here. Did I set that correctly? But you could see this word weight. It means a mass bulging under its load. That's why I said an elephant on your back. Something that just you can't seem to get rid of. A bulk that is oppressive so far that it is heavy. A burden and a hindrance. I remember when I first heard Pastor describe the people who are out in the world, and he said they're suffering. They're miserable. You know, and they didn't seem too miserable to me. When you looked at them, seemed like they were having all kinds of great times and fun. But then I realized after some more education in righteousness, I realized what he was talking about. They're miserable and they don't even know they're miserable because they know no other way. They've never experienced peace. They've never experienced real joy. You realize that? So that is what they think is normal, living under that constant burden. I think one of the best explanations I ever heard of sin was when Pastor talked about the uncleanliness. And he talked about how sin, you put one on top of another on top of another, and it layers like an uncleanliness does in the body till you become so taken down by it that your immune system can't fight it off anymore. One thing on top of another where the immune system is overwhelmed by the army that's attacking it. It's the same thing with sin, because sin has a snowball effect. And if you allow one thing that you have a comfort zone in your life, it will pull other sins into it. And before you know it, you're missing confessions. You know, you stopped coming to services on Sabbath. You never had missed service on Sabbath before. But now all of a sudden you stop missing services. Why? Well, there's no point in me confessing if I haven't overcome. I've heard that one. Well, how do you expect to overcome? If you don't get it off of you, how are you going to expect to overcome this? You have to keep these things in mind. The word endurance, I think this is so beautiful. So you see here this mass bulging under its load, a bulk that is oppressive, a heavy burden, a hindrance. You know, one of the things I like about the word hindrance is I think of when I saw that, I thought about the hinder gods or the gods you left behind, right? Which is what we do when we go back to sin. We go back to the way that we left behind. It's the going back to sin that holds you back from overcoming. That's the hindrance. And this is what the apostle was saying. Lay it aside. Lay aside every sin and every weight, everything that holds you back from coming to that perfection, and run the race that is set before you. This word endurance, when I looked up this word endurance, because he says there, he said, and set before you with endurance. Now this is a great, and I think a lot of priests have brought this out because it has such great meanings to it. But this word endurance here, it means cheerful. You know, it's not easy. Pastor said years ago, it's not easy to rejoice when you're being persecuted. It's not easy to rejoice when you're going through trials. And I always think about, every time I think of that, I think of the apostles as they were getting ready to go to prison, or they were in prison, and they knew they were getting ready to be killed, and they were singing psalms. You know, and I was like, when I first read that as a Christian, I thought, why would they do that? It seemed crazy, but now that I understand the plan of Yahweh, they knew what was to come. They knew they had finished their course. They knew that they had qualified at that point, and now they just had to finish the rest of the prophecies, and they had their place set in the kingdom. Now think about how much of a... Yes, praise Yahweh. Think about what that's going to be like when those bombs drop. Think about how the world's going to be crying, but we're going to be singing. We're going to be so thankful when we see this plan come to its completion, because we know that we have made it then. This word shows a hopeful endurance. You remember in Jacob, it talked about all the ones who came before us. They longed for a city far off, and they longed for a hope that they didn't receive here and now. They didn't get fancy cars and fancy paying jobs and, you know, all these big houses and all these things that the world goes after, but they did have a hope if they endured that there was a promise made to them. A consistency. There's that word we got to remind ourselves all the time. You know, when we start struggling, we got to remind ourselves. Patient waiting. Patience or endurance which grows out of trials. There's that word again, that trials. It grows through the trials that you go through. Under chastisement and undeserved affliction. Perseverance in doing and well-doing. Perseverance. And it takes that to remain in the house of Yahweh. But I want to show you more of a definition in here. You all got that? This word, by the way, the endurance, is translated endurance in the book of Yahweh, in the King James Version, is translated patience. But the word means, this word shows a temper which does not easily succumb under suffering. See, Yahweh's training us for something. He's trying to develop some character within us, something that won't break down when the chips get tough. Or when things get rough. You know, we're getting ready to go into one of the most terrible times in the history of mankind. It's going to be rough all around. It's not just going to be rough on the world. We're going to have to see and experience a lot of these things too. And it takes people who have courage. People who are determined not to run when the pressure comes down. Does not easily succumb under suffering. A self-restraint. Notice it's a self-restraint. One you do to yourself. You restrain yourself, which does not hastily retaliate a wrong. A temperament opposed to cowardiceness. A despondency, wrath, or revenge. A temper which does not, which is opposed to cowardice. I remember, I think of one of the sermons Pastor gave, and a man was, you know, somebody was leaving the house of Yahweh, and they were using justification for why they were leaving. And Pastor said, stand up. And act like a man, or act like you got something in your backbone besides water, or tuck your tail between your legs and run. And he said it straight, and he said it plain. Now, if the person that he was encouraging in that would have listened to that, they might have saved their lives and the lives of their whole family. We have to change our former behaviors, brethren. We have to be determined to succeed. We have to be determined not to let our temper or our emotions succumb. Now, there was one other definition here, which I'm going to go ahead and just read it because it's really small print. It's hard to read. But this is in the Unger's Bible Dictionary. And it's for the word patient where we get this word endurance. It means patience is that calm and unruffled temper with which a righteous man bears the evils of life. Now think about that as you go through your daily life and reflect back on the things that get you ruffled up. You know, many things get us ruffled up. But think about that the next time your emotions start to get in the way and somebody says something to you the wrong way, or somebody calls you something, or somebody steps on your toe. It's an unruffled temper that you bear the evils of life. Front through. Whether they proceed from persons or things, it also manifests itself in a sweet submission to the provincial appointments of Yahweh. I thought that was kind of interesting that it had the appointments of Yahweh in there. And fortitude in the presence of the duties and conflicts of life. This patience saves one from discouragement in the face of evil. Now you see, it says the fortitude in the presence of the duties. So, you know, I have to look up the word fortitude because I'm not real great with some of these words. But this word fortitude, I looked it up in a Webster's and it said a strength of mind that enables a person to encounter danger and bear up under pain and adversity. So you have to have this strength of mind in the presence of your duties and the conflicts of life that you face on a daily basis. See, this is what the Peaceful Solution teaches us. It teaches us a way to handle our problems. It's the tools to handling our problems. But when in our daily life, when we're doing whatever it is at work or at home and we have conflicts or we have problems, if we don't apply these things in our lives, we can't get success. We won't have any more peace than the gods did, than the original sons of Yahweh did, who wouldn't stay in the peaceful solution, in the way of righteousness. We have to have our mind focused on the goal. Yahweh has a great plan for you, and he has a great plan for all of us. He has trained us to succeed. I would like you to be encouraged by this, not have this moral cowardice. Think about what we're talking about here. 3.5 years. It's not that long. It's not that long. 3.5 years, you just have to have your mind focused, excuse me, and not be clouded by the worries of this world. Yeshua said, you know, but people will say for years, you know, they've been saying, you know, well, Israel's been saying that it's going to be this time, it's going to be that time. You got to start thinking about what was said in the rest of the scriptures. Yeshua said 2,000 years ago, I come quickly. That was 2,000 years ago. Praise Yahweh. Of course, now, that was written for our generation. You know, Noah waited, I think it was 120 years before the promise came. The temple was 70 years after the time it was prophesied before it took place. Many of the people were already dead by the time that prophecy took place. But they still were judged on whether they believed or not. We have to keep our mind focused on the goal and the promise that's in front of us. You can't allow yourself to quit. We're so close to the goal, you're going to regret it if you quit. You've built up for yourself a position. Think about the seniority that you are going to have in the kingdom. Now, you're going to throw it all away in one moment? One moment of emotion? What are you going to gain by it? What are you going to get from the world? I'll tell you what you're going to get. Handful of nothingness. That's what's out there. And that's what you're going to inherit if you don't keep your mind focused on the goal at hand and overcome these big, overwhelming sins that weigh on our mind. And you all know what they are. You know, I don't have to point out, you're already aware within yourself what it is you have to face and what it is you have to overcome. Make a determination today. Make a determination today, say, I'm not doing that tomorrow. I'm not coming back to confession and confessing this again. That's right. Praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. I'm not going to serve Baal anymore. What will the history books tell about you? Read the history books right here in the book of Yahweh. What did it say? And that man did evil in the eyes of Yahweh. Everything he did, even if he did any righteousness, it was forgotten about him if he turned to evil in the end. What will the history books tell about you? We are the history books of tomorrow, and Pastor is writing them right now. He wants to tell the great things about us. But don't burn bridges with Yahweh. Think about what's going to occur if you burn bridges with the house of Yahweh. Think about what's going to take place when the house of Yahweh becomes a city. And the city moves to the county. And the county moves to the state. And the state moves to the government, to the nation, excuse me. And then it encompasses the world. If you can't get along with the administration in the house of Yahweh, you got the problem. No, seriously, you have the problem because that administration was put there by Yahweh. Yes, praise Yahweh. If that administration, if you can't get along with them, what's going to occur when they're the government? When you can't get anything done without their approval? See, the house of Yahweh is very small right now, so we forget that because we think, well, we could go to the world and the world is big and we can get away from the pressure of the work of Yahweh and the trouble and the tribulation that we go through and the trials. But what's going to occur when the plan comes to its completion and the house of Yahweh becomes and all nations come up and they bring their things to the house of Yahweh. And that's the prophecy. Then where will you be? You'll be in a little bit of a pickle. Because you'll have lost your opportunity. Yes, I know you have to suffer difficulties to develop that character. I know you have to go through the trials and the persecution, you know, and the hatred that is done when you try to stand up for Yahweh. You would think they would love us, right? You would think they would love us for wanting to walk in righteousness. But they don't. They despise us. But I know you can do it, brethren. I know you can overcome if you just face, be honest with yourself and face the facts of what you have to endure. You remember, I don't have time, but you can write it down for your notes. But Hebrews 5, 4 through 8. No, you know what? I'm going to go there real quick because this is very important. Hebrews 5, 4 through 8. We're real quick. We're right there. 5, 4 through 8. It said, but no man takes... Is that it? Yes. Of course, he's talking about the offices, you know, in the office of the high priest, which Yahshua was the first led and perfected of the faith. He was the first one that gave us the example of what was offered to us. And he says, now no one can take this onto himself. No man takes this honor upon himself, but he must be called by Yahweh, as was Aaron. So the Messiah also did not take upon himself the glory of becoming a high priest. But Yahweh said to him, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Am I in the right place? Okay, I'm sorry. Verse 7. I had the wrong scripture written down. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, was heard because of his holy reverence. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience from the things that he suffered. Who better would deserve not to suffer? But Yahshua. I mean, he was without sin, right? But he also endured through and developed the character by the suffering that he went through. Let that be our example. Let us remember these things. One more thing. I looked up the word patience. And notice it's a form of that word endurance. It means is that calm and unruffled temper with which the righteous man bears the evils of life, whether they proceed from persons or things. Is this the one I already read? This is the one I already read. But it's okay, I can read it again. The fortitude and presence of your duties in the conflicts of life. So keep that in your mind. Set your mind to endure. Get the determination, whatever it takes, to develop that character. Don't let Yahweh finish the work that he started within you. And Yahweh bless your understanding. If you'll all please stand. We'll turn the services over to the great Kahan Shemuel.
Shabbat Shalom. You may be seated. And I pray that the peace of Yahweh is with each and every one of you. Title of my sermon today is The Body Yahweh Created for Us. I'm going to read Job 38:36. Who has put wisdom in the inward parts? Who has given understanding to the heart? Pastor added at the end of in italics, at the end of inward parts, the mind. And behind heart, again, he says, the mind. So I've been working in my mind. What does that mean? You know, when you look at modern scientific medicine, it goes into sophisticated detail about everything, but in essence, it embraces two basic principles that bind all science together: materialism and reductionism. Now, materialism means that there must be a physical explanation for every phenomenon. Reductionism holds that complex problems are broken down into smaller components component parts, wherein lie all solutions and answers. And that's been in modern medicine, scientific medicine, for years and years. Then comes along quantum physics. Quantum physics became a real science, so some scientists began looking into how that science worked within the human body. So materialism left out the mind-body connection, because the mind isn't material. Our thoughts cause our bodies to move, like getting up in the morning. But no one could find the mind or thoughts. Only cells, organs, and tissues. But not a trace of a thought can be found by the scientists. Yet it must be there because we think and convince ourselves it's time to get up and we're all here. Now, reductionism leaves out the holistic nature of the body. We all have trillions of cells that cooperate to sustain one another, acting to preserve overall health and balance. Now, there's up to a quadrillion neural connections in the brain that generates a microscopic electrical storm. And yet the result is organized thought, not a jumble of static. So a few more years goes by, and science discovered DNA. And the wonders of genes and what they do to sustain life. Science has found out that the human body has an operating system, just like a computer. And DNA functions as the software, but it's coded by someone. Science can't determine who coded the human DNA, but I know everyone in here and everyone listening knows where that programming, that coding came from. Healing can't take place without genetic activity. Now, genetic activity can't take place without the instructions from the DNA. But the scientists continue to ask the question, who wrote the code? Science doesn't get it yet. But every scientist, every laboratory, everything pertaining to the research into any science, including medical, they don't realize it yet, but the missing link is Yahweh. They are all spending those billions and billions of dollars and tens of years, 20, 50 years, searching with man's wisdom for Yahweh. Neuroscience knows that the brain is plastic. It's influenced by the environment we're in. It's influenced by our thoughts, our feelings, choices, and most important, self-awareness. Medical science knows that there are messenger molecules that carry information from the brain to every cell in the body. But they can't find why they do that. The geneticists came along and found out that genes are changed by thoughts, the environment, feelings, choice, and self-awareness. It's been discovered that thoughts, actions, feelings, the environment, and choices affect and can reverse chronic disorders such as aging, fighting inflammation, and cancer. Scientists have proved that genes are not fixed and they're not stable. They're not immovable entities. They're extremely fluid and very dynamic. Their activities are altered by every experience, every thought, every word, and every action, and the environment in any given person's life. So when Yahweh says we're wonderfully made, we need to think smaller so that we can understand the larger. You know, Pastor's been teaching us this since I've come to the house of Yahweh, so I know it was taught before I came to the house of Yahweh. But do we really take the time to use this knowledge that comes from Yahweh, that science is just discovering, to make the changes within our genes that we need? And we are. We really are doing it. We just don't think about it. Every righteous act, every time we practice righteousness, we're changing. We're working. We're exercising our brains. Every time we do a kindness for a brother or sister, or anything else Yahweh has created for mankind, we're doing that. We do this with every moment of study and meditation on the law, every clean meal we eat, and every evil thought we send away from our minds. We do this every time we put the pride down that's in us, the ego, the arrogance, the selfishness. With every act we perform to make the Sabbath a delight for others, we're influencing those genes and every other little innermost part that Yahweh created in us. And when we look at Yeshua and his life and what he did, and how he could communicate with a fish to bring a coin, how he could multiply the food, do we really stop to think about what we're training to be capable of? Everything we do, think, say, the environment we create for ourselves and for one another, we're proving that we are wonderfully made. Look at Psalm chapter 5, page 436. Psalm chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. For there is no truth in their mouths, and their inward parts is destruction. Their words lead to the grave, while they craftily flatter with lying lips. Recognize them as guilty, O Yahweh. Let them fall by their own decisions. Cast them out because of the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against you. That's those that don't consider the inward parts and what every thought, action, deed causes, affects within us. That training that we're going through here in the house of Yahweh, sometimes it's great and sometimes it's frustrating and sometimes it's everywhere in between. But science has a name for that training, SDBT. Self-directed biological transformation. SDBT, self-directed biological transformation. I encourage all of us take the time to think about how every one of these acts or actions we do affects our genetic makeup, every complaint. And there are times I can be a professional complainer. I'm working on it. But think about the genetic makeup, the makeup that can be passed down to offspring. You know, one of the big things that was being taught when I first came to the house was the holy seed. And that's what this is talking about. Pastor's been teaching us this forever. And how using the frequencies we're learning about now, they can help us and help one another go on to perfection, to overcome. There's so much we've learned and so much more that we have to learn. I think the most important part, and I'm not taking away from learning, but to me, the most important part is putting into action what we're learning, what we're practicing. Make it real. Take that extra moment to think about our answer to a brother or a sister, or that act. You know, I said it a moment ago. Scientists, doctors, professors, you name it, all those worldly guys with all the letters behind their name. There's a word that keeps coming up in the last year or so in some of the research I've looked at, and it's the word consciousness. People are looking for what consciousness is. They're talking about Yahweh without really realizing it. They're searching for Yahweh. They've spent billions of dollars looking for cures for cancer, for Alzheimer's, for dementia, for heart disease, kidney disease, and every other kind of medical research you can think of. But they leave consciousness, thought. They leave all of those things out because they don't know who Yahweh is. They're just not aware of who he is and what he's doing and how he created us. They're so smart, they've got blinders on and can't see. But they've been missing this and wasting money all these years looking for something they don't think exists. But Yahweh is the missing link for these laboratories, these professors, these researchers. Yahweh is the link. So I have something I'm going to assign you. When you have spare time, think about what is a thought. Literally, what is a thought? What is the mind? And what is consciousness? And what is the brain? And I'll give you a hint of what I'm looking for. The brain, it's an organ. It's up here, most of us anyway, it's up here in the top of our heads. Kind of looks like a walnut, you know, when you look at it, all wrinkly and squiggly. So we know what the brain looks like, but what is it? Is the mind the brain? Is a thought from the brain? And where does the heart fit in with those? So think about it. Yahweh willing, we'll get a little bit farther, and I will not promise that I have all those answers. I'm working on them. But it's quite interesting to think about. What is a thought? And if thoughts are supposed to come from the mind, what's the mind? Nobody's found them. So what are they? Because we're being trained how to use them and how using them brings life everlasting. And with that, if you'll all please stand, it's my great honor and privilege to introduce to you the great Kohan Benaiah.
Shalom, everyone. The peace of Yahweh be with you. Listen with a believing mind. And, of course, put your seatbelt on and be seated, because we're going to go into a prophetic time, the most dreaded time ever, which will come upon mankind. To us, we're only going to witness those dreaded times, all right? Today we're going to go into, and since we know we're in the last 3.5 years, into the wolves. There's 3 wolves prophesied, which will end the greatest time of trouble, which mankind dreads and fears greatly. Okay? So, but what is a woe, all right? What is a woe? So I looked up the word woe. Is proclaiming a grief. The word woe, all right? Oh, let me first explain something else. What I'm going to talk about is to explain the word woes, then looking at the time cut short, and then explain some numbers concerning the years we are in. All right, these three things. And then the connection when they will not repent. All right, on these things we're going to focus on. All right? But first, let's see what a woe is. All right? This is really, you know, when you read the tribulation, it's horrible things written in there. And really, you can't figure it out until it is being explained. I looked up the word woe Oxford English Dictionary. It first, number one is great sorrow or distress. The second thing is troubles or problems. And in the phrase it says, a woe betide. You know, we get glad tidings, preach the glad tidings, and also the warning about these woes. So the woe betide someone, a person, or a nation. These woes were already from the very beginning foretold, all right? So to betide or tell someone, proclaim, a person will be in trouble or a nation if they do a specific thing. That's what explains the woe, all right? Now, and this warning came out already very early from Cain and Abel, remember? Cain and Abel, Yahweh didn't accept his offering. So Cain, he says, then he got all distressed. He says, and Yahweh said, if you do what is righteous, will you not be accepted? And if you don't, then if you do these things concerning the way you do, you know, then you will not be accepted in the kingdom of Yahweh, or by Yahweh. And of course, the second warning came in Deuteronomy 28, all right? No, in Genesis 4, and 5, Cain and Abel, all right? So Cain and Abel, you know, Cain eventually rose up against Abel, and he says, now I shall be a vagabond in the whole earth, he says, for you will be hidden from my face. You know what the face of Yahweh is? The face of Yahweh is his laws, all right? Now you have taken away the law from me, and I shall be a vagabond, and anybody who sees me will kill me. No, Yahweh said, but he says there will be continuously war, vengeance, and retaliation. And the war also represents destruction through vengeance and retaliation. And that is explained in the vows, all right? So you know that these warnings, and then Deuteronomy 28, of course, all right, we can check out. There's another warning here, all right? And we're going to see... All right, you can see that in here, you know. And in verse 15, or Deuteronomy 28:15, he says, however, if you will not carefully do all the things written for you, you know, the doctrine of life, if you were in any part, then this will be the end result, and we're facing this time of trouble now. And we also going to see the time cut short, all right, and how short. Yahweh will strike you with consumption and with fever, with an inflammation and scorching heat, with blasting and with mildew. They will stay with you until you perish. And the heaven that is over you, your head, shall be brass, and the earth that shall be iron, and Yahweh will make your rain and your land powder and dust. Now, and from heaven it shall come down until you all destroyed. Or, now Yahweh is not doing that. He already said, if you don't do it, you get it. The way it looks like Yahweh will do these things. No, Yahweh has already given you the doctrine of life. It's so simple and so pleasant to keep these laws of Yahweh. That is actually fulfillment of our lives. If we go anywhere from any of that, we're going to have problems, troubles. And like we say, all our lives we did it. You know what? We were sold out in God worship. Which Satan created, all right? Now, all right, the vows, you know what a vow is, all right? If you do these things, all right, you will be in trouble if you do a specific thing. And the specific thing what the nations did, they did exactly what Yahweh said not to do. Under the influence of Satan, she's so powerful with her influence, everything starts with a thought. Has Yahweh indeed said, did they say that indeed in the house of Yahweh you shouldn't drink right now? There's a separation. Well, I'm sure the separation must come also to keep our mind clear and focused and really what we are. We are man and woman, and Yahweh, he created us for his pleasure. He loves mankind. He created us for his pleasure. Every instrument of our body should give praise and glory to Yahweh, from our mouth to our reproductive organs and everything. What did Hilda, what did she do? She perverted everything. Now people are cursing, using foul language, and being disgruntled and dissatisfied with everything. Instead, Yahweh said, and you will be satisfied with everything. All right? Now let's look into these woes, all right? So remember what a woe is now. The curse without a cause does not come. If you do a specific thing, if we don't follow the teaching now, Yahweh, that's the last warning for mankind. And we are in that last 3.5 years. We are about half a year in already. And I'm going to go into the numbers in the timeline. I'm going to see how they fit in into this number. And also the way this, the news, you see, this is, it's hair-raising actually, but we don't need to be afraid of that because it will come like a trap on those, let's say, on God worshippers. Not on us, not those who have the seal of Yahweh. You make sure you stay with that seal, with the law, and you walk on Yahweh's righteous sidewalk, okay? The law is righteous, just, and holy. So when you practice Yahweh's righteousness, that covers all the laws and everything, because you will not steal and so on and everything, you know? The commandments are not grievous. So we know that now, right? Now remember, don't forget what a woe is. Great sorrow or distress, troubles or problems. If we do a specific thing. Now, we're not going to do this specific thing. We're not going to be disobedient no more. You keep the commandments of Yahweh that separate you from the devil. You ignore that. Sin going to knock on your door of your mind. Very powerful. Everything starts with the mind. This thought is so powerful. I remember when Yahweh opened my mind, said, take all things away. Give me one truth. Say, remember the Sabbath. Phew. And hit like a lightning. It's still burning like a light. It's just, I can't believe it. Can't get it out. But what, and so when Satan does that, she's so powerful, she can sell you fool's gold and represent it to you, and you're going to buy it. You have the real gold, you're going to dig it. Can you dig it? yeah, we can do it. You know, we're going to have it there. And you get every day, you know, you have opportunity, you know, without the pressure. All right, now let's see these woes. Look in Revelation 9, all right? We go into the first woe. We got to go through that so I can get everything covered, all right? Here in verse 8 said, now remember there are seven seals, then seven trumpets. A seal, these things were sealed up, remember in Daniel? And then the seal had to be opened, all right? Yahweh has to send the Malach, all right? He says to unlock that, all right? In Revelation 9, verse 1, it says the fifth trumpet. Now, the trumpet is the message from the house of Yahweh. It was not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 miles. No, we're in the seventh era. And that's when all the seals were open now. They're being proclaimed. And the veil of deception is taking away from Satan and from the people of the world. The minute you turn to Yahweh, the veil is going to be taken away from you. Until that people turn to Yahweh or to the house of Yahweh, the veil is going to be there. They will never understand, and they're going to go in, and they're going to die in their self-righteousness. All right. He says, and the Malach sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given a key to the bottomless pit. Now, Hellbob came down, who ran over to him, gave him the key, opened the bottomless pit. You don't even know what the bottomless pit is, right? Well, I tell you what the star. The star, remember the star of Bethlehem? He was a man of Yahweh. Enlightened with the truth, all right? And Yeshua said, I will send my Malach into the house of Yahweh, into the congregation of the house of Yahweh, all right, to testify of those things. The minute the house of Yahweh was established, a man had to be called. And this man, the man called the branch, all right? You know his name, Yahweh revealed it, all right? And he gave him the key to the bottomless pit, which turned out to be the Vatican, where Satan's seed is, pull away that wicked plans they have for mankind, for the destruction of mankind, all right? And there comes smoke out of it. Yeah, but all these trumpets revealing, these messages revealing, there's a warfare coming. And as we can see in the news now, this is not just a warfare with bow and arrow and with slingshots and stones. They have a blitzkrieg, a lightning war. This is, you cannot escape that no more. Not one of these missiles will actually fail. They're going to hit their target. Now, the first woe, when you go through, you see from 9 to we can go until 12, all right? And we're not going to go all through it. I'm just going to explain it. There's going to be the war and see, all right? This, what is proclaimed, we're going to actually see and talk about it throughout this, throughout eternity, all right? And there was warning of three woes, all right? So I looked up three woes. How you get it in? You get all confused there. Say, no. So three woes. So the first one there is that here in 8 and in 9, it proclaims what's going to occur. This war and the sea. Then the war and sea, all right, and the ships, third part of the ships will be destroyed. And you look, when you saw in the China Sea, the way these warships are lined up, they're sitting ducks there. All these boats and the ships, these warships, in the ocean or in the waterways are like sitting ducks. They have nowhere to escape. We're going to see how they will be destroyed. And when that war starts, it could start any time now, all right? But we're going to see the time short and how we can squeeze that in then, all right? So, but that was only given them the first war for 5 moons. And it's going to be in and around the river Euphrates. It's going to be like China there, Russia, Europe, and Middle East, all right, and India, all right. This is all in the fourth part of the thing, all right. This is going on God washes. Remember, it was also foretold, if you read this first woe, not to hurt anyone with the seal of Yahweh, because people will escape and they will come over here. They will come to the city of Israel. Where's the city? The house of Yahweh is a lighthouse. And the city of Israel, the refugee city, will be built all around here. You're going to see great things you've never seen before. There will be plenty of things to talk about. That's for later on. Now, all right, so that's the first woe, he said. One woe is passed, all right? For 5 moons, if you look at it. Now the time cut short, all right? How short? We got 3 years left. We got already in half a year. So we get 3 years left. So the first war, 5 moons, all right? You can see what's occurring there. But then it goes into the second, all right? Here, the the second woe, all right, in verse 13. And the Malach sounded and heard a voice, he says, loose the four angels or the quartet. We have seen when in Israel, stood up here and he loosed the four, that he gave them permission. Yes, go with your war. He did not ask Yahweh to restrain him. So they're going to go on. Nothing will be restrained from them. See, that was already, is here saying second war, but it was already before the second war. You see how this is shoveled around like a thing? We don't worry about that. But what I want to point out here is there was a time limit. See, these wars are prepared. They're not going to be in by coincidence. And look in verse 15. And the quartet was loosed, which was prepared. See, this is a war prepared. And they're not going to spare. There is no mercy in this war, all right? For an hour, a day, on the moon, and a year, in order to slay the third part of man. That is in the fourth part of the earth. The other part of the earth is not included yet, and I'm going to see then, we're going to see how we're going to connect that then. Now, all right, and here definitely explains nuclear war. And in my vision, I saw the horses or the missiles. Okay, they had breastplates of fire, yellow, and jacinth, blue, and brimstone, red. And the heads of the horses were the heads of lions. They're painting these things and this thing. And out of their mouths issued fire, smoke, and brimstone. By these three were the third part of man killed by the fire, by smoke, and by brimstone, which issued out of their mouths. For their power was in the mouth and in their tails, and in the tails were similar to serpents, and they had heads, and with them they heard. Warheads. How much warheads can a missile carry? Now think about, you have this, and the ships in the China Sea, they North Korea could shoot one missile over. I don't know how many warheads one can hold. They said 10, 20, I have no idea. But we will see it, right? We will see it in the sea of glass. We will see this thing. And with this, they do hurt. And they do not miss. Because it don't take much to blow a ship out of the water with a warhead. When they hit, forget it. It's all over. And they go quick. That's why I said the time has to be cut short. So we are here all right now. See, on the rest of the men, so there was one-third killed, remember? That's the second war now. Remember the first war? 5 moons. Now, that is not 3.5 years yet. So we still have a little time left, right? And the rest of the men were not killed by these plagues because they still did not repent of their hands and that they should not worship demons, gods, and terrapin of gold, silver, brass, and stone, and wood, all right? And neither did they repent of their murderers and their sorceries and their fornication and their thefts. Now, here it stops. All right? Two-thirds of mankind dead in the fourth part of the earth, but there's no darkening of the sun yet. But though nuclear war is going on there, and we're going to see the connection there, all right? I'm going to go into the time cut short now, all right? We're going to connect them right where we left off. What did they do after they did not repent? Because we have... one with two-thirds of this world we have left. There's three parts of the thing. Well, you know, they're still left. So it's only in the fourth part that trouble. All right, now, let's see the time cut short, all right? Yeshua gave us a clue. He says, you know, by the time of the end of this tribulation, now this is two wolves now. It's not finished yet. During these two wars, there's three wars, all right? So, with this nuclear now, where are they? The time cut short in Revelation 9:15, all right? Here is, you see, you have a day prepared. A day, no, an hour, or in 1 hour, this destruction can come and will come. A day which burns like an oven. On the moon, on the year, in order to slay, all right? Now, Yeshua gave us a hint. He says, at his coming, when this is occurring, at his coming, he said, it will be like the days of Noah. So remember, that one year, that's not 3.5 years. So the time got to be cut short. Look in Matthew 24, in verse 36. Here it says, but no man knows the day or the hour. Well, we don't need to know. There's a day coming like burns an oven and in an hour, right? We know that, all right? We don't need to know that day. But just as in the days of Noah, we are so were the coming of the Son of Man. Just as the life goes on in this part, you know, as the days in the days of Noah, you know, married, they were marrying, giving marriage. They were marrying man, marries man, and man marries animals or whatever's going on. You know, and that's supposed the days of Noah. But that's not what we need to talk about. It's the length of the days. That's what Yahweh is pointing out. He said, time will be cut short. It will be as the days of Noah. It is coming. All right, now the days of Noah, you know, Noah went in the 600 years in the second moon, and in the 17 days, Yahweh shut the door. The rain came, all right, and he shut the door, and Noah was in there. And then the rain came, and he was in that ark until his 601st year, one moon and 27 days. Then he said, Yahweh said, come on out. Between that time when Noah was in the ark, trouble was over. That's the time cut short. Lo and behold, it matches that one year. That's just a few days different. It didn't say here what day, what the first day, second day, or the 27th day, or the whatever day of the week. It only reminds you a day. He says we should be watchful and keep close and build the house of Yahweh, right? Now, you see, now these two time periods, they're not coincident. That's the days of Noah. He assured you the time will be cut short. If that time wouldn't be cut short, that short, no flesh would be saved. As we're going to go in now, and we're going to see now the connection, all right, where we left off here, and here in Revelation 9, he says, neither did they repent of the sorcery and fornication and the murders, right? So let's connect that to Isaiah 24, all right? Let's go over there. Now you're going to see the connection, all right? And Isaiah 24, 1 to 6, all right, it gives you the course, all right? And here in verse 6 says, we know why the curse is coming. Remember, the wolves didn't come just like that. Because of this, because they did this thing that they shouldn't have done, they forsook Yahweh, all right, and followed Satan, the devil, or God, the God worship. That's the trouble. All right, now, because of this, the curse has devoured. See, the curse without a cause did not come. We were forewarned right from the beginning. They devoured the earth. And they that dwell therein, the desolate, therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. Now let's continue here. Remember, that is going on at the fourth part of the earth. Now let's continue in verse 7. All right? Now you connect the whole world. Because it is a worldwide problem. It's not just in the fourth part. Now we're going to feel the pressure on there. He says, the vine, the mourners and languishes, the merry hearted side. Now, people right now, they're still celebrating with their customs, with their ambition and competition. That's going to go on while that war is going on. It's like nothing occurring here. You know, the comedians will have their day and, after the news at night, you know, they're going to have their fun. But now look what it's going to occur. World, now think yourselves around now after the connection, after that trouble. We have seen already through the news, all right? So the merry-hearted side, so slowly going to quench that. The language has gradually, all life will diminish, or all hope for life will diminish worldwide. Now look here, the mirth of the tambourine ceases, shouts of those who rejoice, and the joy of the harp ceases. They will not drink wine with song or strong drink. A strong drink will be bitter to those who drink it. Not even their drink's going to cheer them up anymore. The cities of confusion, the whole world is confused. They're broken down. Every house is shut up. No man comes in. There is a crying for wine in the streets, joy darkened, mirth of the land ceased. In the cities, there's left desolation, the gates are smitten. And you, in Yeketsky says, the people in the cities, what occurred to them? They're going to die of famine, pestilence, which is disease epidemics, all right, or hunger, you know. Now, in verse 13, listen to that now. Then it will be like this. In the midst of the earth, No more in the fourth part. Get this. In the midst among the people, it will be like the shaking of an olive tree, like the gleaning of grapes, the vintage is done. Now we have, here when you go up here, he says, the earth will reel to and fro like a drunkard and will sway like a hurt. The transgression will be heavy upon it and will fall and not rise again. Okay, now we have a little clip there about shaking. Remember what we read here? And there will be like this afterward. It will be like the shaking of an olive tree. All right? Do we have this? That's in the midst of the people, in the midst of the land. All right? You see, everything falls down there. Now, that's going to be a horrible sight there. And that is, there's not much left on that tree. Huh? All the wicked will be shaken out. All right, and they will never enter the kingdom of Yahweh. You get this? Now, look what we just read. And then it will be like this. In the midst of the earth, among the people. But falling down there, think about this. They will be so, they're going to go on, they will walk like blind men. They will totally, like zombies. It will be like the shaking of an olive tree, gleaning of a tree, all right? They will lift up their voice, all right? I don't know what that's going to be received. When they not repent of the murder, that means the wars will continue. But this time, it's going to hit worldwide. Strategic. I believe this time, the United States will be hit. All right? Now, while that is going on, during this time, as we're going to see in a little, during this time, there's going to be a great gathering coming, all right? Now, they will lift up their voice and sing for the majesty of Yahweh. All right, when they see all hope is gone from them, the house of Yahweh is a lighthouse. Yoo-hoo, here we are. All right. They will cry aloud from the sea, the people, remember? For this cause, glorify Yahweh in the fires, in these nuclear fires, the name of Yahweh, the Father of Israel, in the isles of the sea. From the ends of the earth, we have heard songs. Glory to the righteous. But I said, my lineage, woe to me. The treacherous dealers have treacherously, truly treacherous dealers have very treacherously. See, they will speak lies over the same table. They don't trust each other no more. They say they will use it or lose it, all right? Fear and the pit and snare are upon the inhabitants of the whole earth. We're not excluded there if the time wouldn't be shortened. So think about this short, the year... And about 2 moons, all right? That's how short this time could go when that crap hit the ceiling down there, all right? Excuse my language there. But anyway, fear upon the whole inhabitants. It's not to fear pit upon the inhabitants of the fourth part, of the whole earth. He says this will come upon all, the whole of the whole world. And it will come to pass, he who flees from the noise will fall into the pit. And he who comes out from the midst of the pit will be caught in the snare. For the windows from on high are open, the foundations of the earth are shaking. The windows from on high, that means Yahweh will hear the prayers of his people. You understand? He will respond to our prayers because he will gather in the biggest time of trouble. If you look in Daniel, he says, at that time my people will be delivered. And I can see it could be as close as this coming year. All right, now we can examine that, and then we see, all right? But all this will need to be seen. So the windows of heaven from on high are open, all right? However, the foundation of the earth are shaken. The foundation, they built the earth, the people on earth, and the foundation of silver and gold, right? Hillel was very smart. She put in the... You got to trust in God. Not in Yahweh. We put our trust in Yahweh. No, you got to trust in God. You cannot do now. Who are you going to trust now? You know, Yahweh has promised in his kingdom, he says, come, buy. No money. You do everything, you work for it. More than you can handle. All right, the foundation will be broken. They will throw the silver and gold in the street. They cannot eat it. All right? You see, that was built, this foundation, these things were built in God worship. Hillel instituted this God worship, and it was... based on the money. Without that damnable money, you can do nothing. All you can do is get in debt and eventually may curse it. All right? So now, The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is dissolved clean. The earth is shaken exceedingly like the tree. The earth will reel to and fro like a drunkard. It will sway like a hut. The transgression will be heavy upon it. It will fall and the rod rise again. And it will come to pass, all right, that Yahweh will judge the people in that way, all right? And then in verse 23 says, then the moon will be confounded and the sun ashamed, and Yahweh's host will reign in the house of Yahweh or in the refugee city. Now there's that one more woe coming, all right? We went through that. That is to finish the second woe, okay? During that second woe, there is also a resurrection because the coming of Yeshua is very close now. Let's go back to Revelation again and then look in chapter 16. All right, the seventh plague, all right, or the last thing. Now, one woe is done. Behold, the third comes quickly. Okay, and now, and here look in verse 21. That's the third woe now. Remember, we have these nuclear fires now? In 21, it says, and there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every hailstone the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed Yahweh because of the plague of the hail, for great exceedingly was the plague of it. All right, now look in Job 38. Let's look in Job 38, and here we say, and that's a little, people do still also misunderstand that too, but let me explain that a little bit. In Job 38, all right? All right, now we have it. In Job 38, and look in verse 22, all right? He said, Yahweh said, have you entered the storehouse of the snow? Have you seen the treasury of the hail, which I have reserved for the time of trouble, for the day of battle and war? Now, Yahweh did not have the Torah plunge and say, now you come down. No, this activity, this nuclear activity, see that hail and the snow up there, that is to keep the climate under control, all right? So with that activity there, this pebble's gonna, that ice sheet will break loose and coming down on that burning earth. And when you have a hot fire there and you put a chunk of ice in there, there's gonna be such a dense smoke going up besides the other smoke, it will quickly darken the sun. It won't take long, all right? And during that time, during this cloud, he says, look up, your redemption draws near because Yahshua is on the way. His appearing will be made manifest at the proper time here in the house of Yahweh, all right? And you don't need to fear, all right? So now, one more thing. I got to ask for a couple of more seconds, all right? Concerning the year, I'll be in the year, all right? In Strong's from 2015, all right? Now, you understand the time cut short. 1 year, practically 2 moons. Within that 3.5 years, all these wars can take place because these are quick wars. They're not going to be stretching out, all right, when they start. So it could be pushed back until, whenever it starts, we'll start, all right? But anyway, in this year, so it starts from 2015 to 2022, is about 7 years stretch. And I was amazed. I looked up 2015, and the definition in there, it gives you just about everything what did occur and what will occur until 2022, all right? It's a very perverse and froward, all right? Froward means disobedience willfully. The whole world is disobedience willfully, all right? Now, perverse, of course, the desires to behave in a way that other people find difficult or unacceptable, all right? On the contrary to what is expected or expected, that's how people behave, and sexually perverted, of course. Now, that is 2019, all right? 2019 is just about over. But 2020, that's going to be the most exciting thing. And I think that's when Yahweh will lift up his house. There's a two-folded thing here. In 2020, the numbers is 53:37, all right? It means to snatch away, whether in a good or bad sense. Now, in a righteous sense, the house of Yahweh will lift up, all right? It will be lifted up above all congregation. Will eventually come to it because they see the trouble coming in this, all right? Now, in a bad sense, this world will go down from day to day. You're going to see these calamities going down, all right? One, there will be disaster after disaster. You can see in California now, they got the fires, you know. They're losing everything in the fire. And then, where the house of Yahweh will lift up, this world, so in a good or bad sense, all right? And continue to deliver, recover, rid, escape, rescue, spoil at all, take out, defend, fail, defend without fail, part, pluck, preserve, save, strip, surely. You see, most of the things are positive. I can see the house of Yahweh. Yahweh lift up his house in honor. The people will come crawling. They will come probably with the ships of Tarshish first. They will see the lighthouse. And that's how the city of Israel will be formed. The word Israel, if you don't remember, you know what it means, Israel? Come on, you did it. He told me that. The next time, he always got something he got to tell him that it makes sense. So you know what the word Israel means? Yeah, you say, what? Yeah. It says, one who will rule also Yahweh. Yahweh will rule. So the city of Israel, there will be those true Israelites, those who will rule, Yahweh will rule. That's the true Israel. We could say, well, don't I look like an Israelite with a long nose and them locks and that thing or whatever they dress like? No, we're going to prove it. We're going to prove it by our works, all right? All right, now, that is 2020, so I see great. Now, in Yahweh's way, Day of Atonement changes Yahweh's year. But I would say we probably have to wait until the changes, the Roman year, all right? So now, that is 2020. I see a great uplift. Now, 2021, that's when the thing gonna... See, they have to... I would say they have to come in this same time because the wayfaring man will cease, all right? Now, 2021 is to be sharp or strong. Second, the weapon of war. And third, chariots. That definitely sounds like war, all right? And then 2022 is promotion of the house of Yahweh. The house of Yahweh was promoted since the day it was started to be built. All right? But there's another house of Yahweh. In Revelation, there's the house of Yahweh, Yeshua the cornerstone. We as living stones coming in, fitting in there. The promotion. So and here we read, the promotion of the mountain, the house of Yahweh. First activity that supports, encourages something, the promotion of human rights, the publicizing of a product or celebrity, the kingdom of Yahweh is at hand. And third, the action of promoting someone or something to a higher position or rank. Yeshua said, behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me. And he will put us as living stones. Putting in, when you build a column with stone, you don't fit nowhere in. But so somebody has to put you into your place, all right? Providing we endure. And may Yahweh bless your understanding. And I hope you endure and believe the prophecies. All right. Okay.